Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. One of the major causes of unhappiness is division. And we could be divided about almost anything. We just went through an election and we saw that the country was definitely divided in terms of, you know, their political party that they support. But we could be divided almost about anything, from our political parties to what we think is the best pizza in town, to which city has the best sports teams, to which city has the best burgers in town. We could be divided Apple versus Android, Coke versus Pepsi, soccer. Do you say soccer or do you say football? There's so many things that you and I could be divided against or divided about. But the key to success, and you could see this, and anything, is unity. Unity is definitely one of the keys to success. To have a successful business, the employees must stand together, must work together. If there is a division, that company will not stand. A family that is divided against itself, if the father and the mother are not in line in how they will raise their children, there will be problems in that family. A hockey team that does not play together and that is divided in terms of what is the goal or what is the game plan, they will not succeed. Some people say right, some people say left, some people say black, some people say white, and some people say gray. It's a popular It's popular today to kind of sit on the fence, to be non-committal. There's a lot of people in this past election that didn't vote, maybe because they didn't care, but maybe they didn't want to choose a side. They didn't want to steer the pot. They didn't want to rock the boat. Some people just like sitting on the fence. This morning's meditation is entitled Sitting on the Fence. And I'm going to do a quick confession to you all. I tried as much as possible to give this sermon to someone else today. I tried many, many, many sermons, and they all, for some reason, had different reasons. And I felt that God was saying, okay, I need to teach you a lesson. God works with me in a very direct manner, and I mentioned this before. When He wants me to learn something personally to change, the first thing that He will do is He will give me a topic to prepare. This topic is for me, first and foremost, about sitting on the fence. And sitting on the fence is okay in certain aspects of our life. But in one aspect, it's not okay, and this is what Christ is telling us today. When it comes to Christ, we can't be sitting on the fence. In verse 30 of the same chapter of this gospel, it says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Every day I have a chance for not being on the fence for Christ. We have the choice, the opportunity to either go God's way or the world's way. Those are our opportunities that we have every single moment and every single day of our life. There are so many opportunities that are presented to us. Today's gospel is about a great miracle, about Jesus healing someone that was blind, mute, and demon-possessed. I can't imagine a more miserable person. Just think about losing one of your senses for a moment. Actually, I was just visiting a family, and the husband was telling me about his experience getting laser eye surgery. And he was telling me, I had laser eye surgery like 16 years ago, and it was the best experience. So I'm not pro or for, but he had a horrible experience. He was telling us that right after the surgery, yeah, he saw. He saw pretty quickly. But like within a half hour, his eyes were burning. They were blurry. He couldn't see. So his wife, the doctor, gave him like pain meds. So they went to Walmart to get the pain meds from the pharmacy. So he's in excruciating pain. He's telling the pharmacist, I need these meds. She's like, half hour. He looks around. There's nobody there. Like, what do you mean a half hour? I need my drugs now. Get me my drugs now. So he's freaking out. Anyways, so the wife knows that it's going to be a half hour. So she says, okay, well, I'm going to go and do whatever, some shopping or do something. So she went around and he's sitting there. And he's telling me, like, I was helpless. I could hear things, I could speak, but I can't see. And I need drugs, I'm in pain. And he's starting to freak out. So he picks up his phone because he wants to call his wife because he doesn't see her anywhere. And he called, I'm going to change the name just for the sake so you don't know who it is. But I'm gonna pick up my phone and I press on Siri and I said, Siri, call Mary. And it calls this different Mary or whatever. And so he tries again. He's like, no, not this Mary, the other Mary. So he tries and calls the other Mary and it's just not working. He's freaking out. He lost his sense of sight. He can't dial a phone. He can't see where she is. He can't get up because he's going to probably knock down all of Walmart's shelving. And he's freaking out. I told him, first of all, the first problem that you had is that you have your wife in your phone with her name. You need to have her in your phone as my love. If you don't have her in my phone as my love, that's your problem. If you had her as my love, you don't have any other loves in there. That Siri would have known who to call. But anyways, that's beside the point. So for all you husbands, change your wife's name in your phones to my love. But this man was blind and mute. Blind and mute. Can't see to help himself. And can't speak to ask for help. What a disaster. But he could hear that there are people around him. He could, like, did you ever, at least you and I, like when we don't see something, like, I don't know, something happens in a movie, we comfort ourselves by going to the person next to us and say, hey, what happened? What happened? So at least we comfort and we kind of feel like we're in the inn. He can't do that. He can't even ask. He can't even ask for help. This was such a great miracle. But what interests me the most in all of this is that this miracle is like three lines in the gospel today. The evangelist doesn't dwell on this miracle. Other miracles where Christ opened the eyes of the blind gave us a lot of detail. Told us he spat on the ground, he made clay, he told them to go wash. And then he told us even what happened to the guy that got healed after this. This gospel doesn't tell us anything about that. This gospel, there's no details on how he did it, on how Christ healed him. There's no details why this man was in this state. Was it because of his sin or because of the glory of God? Like the other man that was born blind. There was no details about even what this man did after. St. Matthew's interest lies elsewhere. Lies on the response. On the response to a miracle. How do we respond to miracles? How do we respond knowing that God is all compassionate? That God is love? That God is the focus? There was no denying of this miracle. There was two groups that saw this miracle. The group number one, which I'm going to say the group on the fence, which are the ones that say, could this be the son of David? And then you had the Pharisees. You had the Pharisees that said he cast them out by Beelzebub, by Satan. Clearly, we're not group number two. Clearly, we're not saying that God's power is coming from Satan. Clearly, we're saying that. Clearly, we're also saying, wait a second, I'm not group number one either. Clearly, I am not group number one. Clearly, he is the son of David. Clearly, I could proclaim and say that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Clearly, he is worthy to be listened to. And that his word that I read is a life-giving word. Clearly, this is the group that I'm a part of. Jesus, when the crowds got bigger and bigger, more and more people he saw sat on the fence. As our crowds get bigger and bigger, unfortunately, more and more of us sit on the fence. And Jesus did these, like, get off the fence type statements. He would say, take up your cross and follow me. And the crowd would whittle down a little bit. He would say, if you want to save your life, you must lose your life. If you want to be great, you need to serve people. And the crowds would get smaller. He would say things like, love your enemy. Crowds would get smaller because it doesn't make sense. Bless those who spitefully use you. Crowds would still get smaller. Give and don't expect in return. Crowds would still get smaller. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And the crowds would get smaller. Women, obey and love and respect your husband, and the crowds would keep getting smaller. Forgive, crowds would get smaller. I'm telling you that I sit on the fence a lot of times. I sit on the fence a lot of times when I know what I'm supposed to do. When I know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's telling me, forgive this person. Treat your wife with a lot of respect and with love. Sacrifice for her. Even though she may have done something wrong to you, that's okay. Like the Arabic, like it's okay. Sacrifice for her. Do I sit on the fence? And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures will be saved. I will be hated. This is the one that I know I get off the fence for. But unfortunately, sometimes I get off the fence and I go the wrong way. I'm a people's pleaser. I can't have people hate me. We need to learn when to get off the fence. And to get off the fence is today. Christ kept pushing and pushing people to have a more and more intimate relationship with him. In John chapter 6, he speaks about eating his flesh. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no part in me. Again, the crowds would get smaller and smaller. And it says in John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then he said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Many people jump the fence, but we jump the fence on the wrong side. We jump the fence on the right side when we hear verses like, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. That's a good one. I will jump to the right side. We hear like, I will pour upon you blessings and so forth. I will jump to the right side. But all these other things, sometimes I just sit there and I sit on the fence. This over the last 2 weeks, we had two great servants that came to our church, Mama Maggie and Father Anthony. And they spoke to us about standing up and standing out. And Mama Maggie spoke to us very simply. I don't know if most of you were here, but if you were here, her message was very clear. Her message was a message of the Bible. Read your Bible. Live the Bible. Accept that this is the truth. St. John Chrysostom says, the Holy Scriptures were not given that we should enclose them in books, but that we should engrave them in our hearts. Where are we in this engraving process of putting the Word of God in our hearts? Mothers and fathers, do we read with our children or do we not? Do we teach them that this is actually the life-giving words. This is where we're going to find problems, a solution to our problems. This is where we're going to find comfort. When we mourn, what do? We come to the Word of God. A lot of times we come to the church, and the church should do one thing. The church should provide you the Word of God that will comfort you, that will comfort, that will correct. That's where we need to be. Mama Maggie spoke about one thing. And actually, she met with a smaller group. And guess what she spoke about? The same thing. She just said, read your Bible. Open your Bible. This is your life. This is life-giving. This is life-giving. I'm not standing up here pretending like that I have this perfected down, that I open my Bible every single day. And I already shared with you guys the struggle when you first come to priesthood, that it's hard for a priest, or at least it was hard for me, to increase in prayers and increase in Bible readings. Why? Because I would say, well, wait a second, you just prepared a sermon. Why are you going to read the Bible again? You just prepared a sermon. You're going to go do your own personal reading? You just prayed a liturgy. You're going to go home and do your own personal prayers? I know it's a struggle. And I'm not standing up here saying that I have it perfect. But what I do know is that I do believe the words that of the people that came before us. And as St. John is saying, is that sometimes I enclose scripture and I leave it into a book. And even nowadays, we don't even have a book. We have it on our iPads and our phones. And Father Paul at the retreat, kind of like, I'm one that reads on my phone sometimes, but I have a paper Bible. But he was saying, like, how can it be that the Word of God, the same place that you watch Facebook and that you open Facebook and Instagram and watch videos, like, that's the same place that we're reading scriptures? Where are we losing that reverence towards the words? I'm not talking about the paper. I'm not talking about paper. But where do we hold regards? Where do we hold our Bible in our life? Father Anthony, the next day, spoke to us about this word called martyria, which is witnessing. That martyrs are not just those that shed their blood, that they lose their life, but that we are all called, that we are all called to witness. And he gave us three examples. And the last example he gave us is of this woman that just recently passed away, and her name was Tun Samira. And Tun Samira was not like a theologian. Tun Samira didn't probably spew off Bible verses off the top of her head. She just lived simply, and she knew what was useful to her. And what was useful was the living Word of God. She was not on the fence. It was clear. It was clear to her that if somebody maybe offended her, that it's okay. That she will bless them by praying for them. It was clear to her that she needed to forgive and not hold grudges. It was clear. She was not on the fence. She was not on the fence. What she did was she spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. She followed the truth. She loved the truth. She believed in the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder if I believe that today. I wonder if I'm holding some sort of negativity in my heart that I'm willing today to get off the fence and to speak to someone that maybe I haven't spoken to in a long time. Maybe reconcile with one of my children. Maybe reconcile with my wife. Maybe it's to say, hey, let bygones be bygones and let's work on our marriage and make it one of those godly marriages. Are we going to get off the fence or not? Saint Isaac the Syrian says, the soul that loves God has its rest in God and in God alone. In all the paths that men walk in the world, they do not attain peace until they draw near to the hope of God. Until they draw near to the hope of God. I want to just finish with a quote that we say in our liturgy. In the litany of the gospel, we say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The man today that was healed didn't have eyes, or had eyes, didn't see, and didn't hear. We are so privileged that we are able to see and to hear. It's time for us to be able to get off the fence. And I speak to myself first, that in all things, be clear that God is the way. Like St. Isaac says, there is no rest apart from God. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in Him, and it's time for us to get off the fence. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.